Right. If you have your Bibles, let's turn together, if you would, please, to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. A couple of weeks ago, you remember we saw how that the Lord Jesus Christ, coming toward the end of His ministry, we saw how that He set His face like a flint. In other words, He became totally focused. He turned all of His focus toward the city of Jerusalem. And we saw how that as He made His way toward the city of Jerusalem, it was not done in ignorance. Rather, He went there knowing full well exactly what would happen when He arrived. He knew that when He arrived in the city of Jerusalem, He knew what would be waiting for Him. He knew that He would be rejected by the Jewish nation and by the Jewish leaders. He knew that He would be abused. He would be mistreated. And He also knew that He would be murdered. He would be crucified on a Roman cross. And yet, in spite of all the things that Jesus knew that was going to transpire and the things that He knew were going to take place, yet with His face set like a flint, He began to make His way. Began to make His way. And then on top of all of those things that He knew was going to happen to Him, you remember we then saw that in our study together last time how that Jesus had to deal with the political infighting and the political positioning and jockeying for power that was even going on among His own disciples. And Jesus had to deal with that. And yet in spite of all of the pressures, in spite of all of the distractions, I want you to know that the focus of the Savior was not deterred. The focus of the Savior was not changed. His focus is still fixed on that place where He will go and fulfill the great plan and purpose of God the Father to secure eternal salvation for all men. Now it's at that point of the story that we come to our text for today. It's at that point of the story that we come to our text for today, and it gets just a little bit confusing here, and so I want to try to help you to understand according to the gospel record. I want to help you to understand the chronological order of events that we find taking place. First of all, I want us to see as Jesus approached the city of Jericho. I want us to notice as He approached the city of Jericho, we find the story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 35. We find that as Jesus drew near to the city of Jericho, as He was come nigh to the city, He was met there by a blind man. And that blind man was wonderfully healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We then see that Jesus entered into the city. The Bible says in verse number 46 that they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho. So we see Him coming in, we see Him going out, but we're not told about anything that happened in the city of Jericho in the Gospel of Mark. Now we do find some things in other passages. For example, in Luke chapter 19, we're told that while He was in the city of Jericho, you remember that little short guy named Zacchaeus, right? And Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. And so because he was short, the crowd was thick, pressing along the way. Zacchaeus couldn't see Him. He's short. And so he ran down, found a sycamore tree, climbed up in the sycamore tree so he could see the Lord Jesus Christ passing by. And as Jesus passed by, you remember He stopped and He said, Zacchaeus, we sing the song in our children's Sunday school, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today, right? And so, but none of that is found in the Gospel of Mark. We don't find anything about the salvation or about the change that took place in the life of this man called Zacchaeus. We're simply told that he entered into the city, colon, he departed from the city. Nothing else is told to us there. Now, then we find number three, Jesus departed from the city. And Matthew chapter 20 and verse 29 and verse number 30. And Matthew 20, verse 29 and 30, the Bible says, as they departed from Jericho, notice it now, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men. Now please pay attention. How many blind men? Two. Two blind men were sitting by the wayside. Now, you'll notice here that Matthew tells us there are two blind men. As Jesus departed from the city of Jericho, two blind men sitting by the wayside. But in our text in the Gospel of Mark, it is interesting to note that there is only one blind man who is mentioned. Only one blind man is mentioned. And I believe the reason is because of the fact that it's clearly seen. The reason is because of the fact that it's clearly seen in verse number 46. The Bible says, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. Now that's important. The man's name is given. Not only is his name given, but notice we also find the name of his father. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. In other words, there are two blind men sitting there as Jesus left the city of Jericho. However, only one of them was mentioned because that one was one that everybody in Jericho knew about. Everybody in Jericho knew Bartimaeus. And many of the people then probably also knew his father. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It may be that his father had been a well-respected businessman in the city of Jericho. Or it may be that his father had been a respected religious leader in the city of Jericho. We're not told any information about who Timaeus was. But regardless of his position, Bartimaeus had lost it all because he was blind. And because of his blindness and because he had lost everything that his father had ever been able to accumulate, he has now been relegated to a life of sitting by the highway begging for alms from anybody that might be passing by. I believe that's why only Bartimaeus is mentioned here in the Gospel of Mark. I believe that's the reason why only he is mentioned. Certainly a sad story. A story that everyone knew. And yet it's this man who is going to become the focus of our study for today. As Jesus departs from the city of Jericho, headed toward the city of Jerusalem to die for my sin and for your sin, he's going to have a meeting with this blind man named Bartimaeus. As we consider this together, I want us to notice a couple of things. First of all, number one, I want us to notice the cry of Bartimaeus. The cry of Bartimaeus. A couple of things that we would mention here. First of all, notice letter A, the reason for it. The reason for it. As Bartimaeus sat by the roadside begging, he would most certainly have heard what was going on around him. You remember Brother Elliot was with us some time ago, and Brother Elliot, of course, been blind for quite a few years, and it's amazing, even if he's around, you better be careful even whispering. The blind, their hearing becomes more acute to make up for their inability to see. And so as Bartimaeus is sitting by the wayside, I'm sure that some people, of course none of them were Baptist, but I'm sure that some people, they would see the beggar blind and they would try to tiptoe. They don't want him to know, but he would hear. But now this big crowd passes by. Bartimaeus hears it. In fact, it's very probable that he was like the man on the other side of town. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 36 that when Jesus was entering into Jericho, as he entered in, the blind man that was on the other side of town, that man, hearing the multitude pass by, asked what it meant. And I'm sure that Bartimaeus did the very same thing. He hears this crowd of people now coming out of the city of Jericho. And as they're coming out of the city of Jericho, he hears the trample of the footsteps of a great crowd passing by, and he says, What is this? What's the meaning of this? Well, who is this that's passing by with such a large procession of people? And the Bible says in verse number 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. As he sat by the highway begging for alms, I am sure there were occasions when Bartimaeus overheard the travelers talking about this rabbi called Jesus, who was from the Nazareth. I'm sure many times he had heard people passing by talking about how that this one called Jesus had calmed storms on the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure he had heard many times how that this one from Nazareth, this one Jesus, had fed multitudes with just a little bit of food. I'm sure he heard how that this one Jesus had delivered those possessed with evil spirits, how that he had healed those who were sick, how that even raised the dead. And as blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside, hearing the testimonies of all the travelers that passed by his way, I'm sure that he heard that on top of all of those things, this one called Jesus had even forgiven men's sins against God. And as blind Bartimaeus heard all of these things, and he heard how that people's lives had been totally changed by coming in contact with this one called Jesus, as he heard that, his faith in Jesus Christ began to grow. And now all of a sudden, sitting by the wayside, he hears a crowd, and he finds out, lo and behold, in that crowd is the very one he had heard about. In that crowd is the very Jesus who had worked miracles for so many others. And Bartimaeus had become convinced that what Jesus Christ had done for others, Jesus Christ could do for him. He was convinced of that. And therefore, when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus who was passing by, verse number 47 says that he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I think there's a very significant thing in this verse. Did you notice it? Blind Bartimaeus, what is he? Somebody tell me. He's what? He's blind, that's right. But what is he? What's he doing sitting by the roadside? He's a beggar. What do beggars ask for? Money. What did Bartimaeus ask for? Mercy. See the difference? See the difference? He asked for mercy. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Let me make two points very clear to you this morning. Two things I want you to understand. Number one, I want you to understand that Satan hates God. Satan hates God, and therefore because you were created in the image of God, because you were created in the likeness of God, and because God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16, to die for your sins so that you might be saved, I want you to understand that because Satan hates God so much, and because God has done so much for us, here's the second thing I want you to get. Satan hates you. He hates you. And because he hates us with such a passion, Satan is going to do everything he can. He's going to use every trick his wicked heart can devise to stop you, to hinder you from trusting in Jesus Christ and receiving the salvation that God wants to give to you. He's going to do that. He's going to do that. But here's the most frightening part in this whole scenario. Here's the most frightening part. Think about it. The people that Bartimaeus go back to verse 48. I skipped one there. I'm sorry. Verse number 48. We see the resolve of it. Verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now here's the point I want you to get. Crowd of people walking by, blind Bartimaeus, who is it? It's Jesus. Jesus, have mercy on me. I want you to notice the frightening part is the ones who hindered him were the ones who were following Jesus. Think about it. The ones who said, shh, be quiet. Jesus is busy, you know. He's got a lot of things on his mind. He's got 12 disciples he's trying to keep straight. He's very busy. He's got a mission to fulfill. And shh, be quiet. Don't bother him. The very people following Christ were the ones who would hinder those from coming to Christ. Something to think about. Something to think about. Therefore, we need to be very careful as Christians. We need to be very careful in the words that we say. We need to be very careful in the attitudes that we display. We need to be very careful in the actions that we do. All of these things, because Satan hates God, and he hates the fact that people can be saved by putting their faith and trust in Christ. Satan will use whatever he can, even when it's God's own people, to hinder others from coming to Christ. We need to make sure that we are never an instrument in the hand of Satan that he is able to use in hindering others. Rather than being a hindrance to others, we ought to always strive to be an encouragement to others to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even though there were some followers of Jesus who wanted to hinder him, even though there were some of that crowd following the Lord who wanted to stop Bartimaeus from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to notice Bartimaeus, he would not be denied. He had a resolve. He would not be denied. Because he was determined to get to Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 48 that he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Because of his determined desire, we see then number 2, the call of Bartimaeus. The call of Bartimaeus. Jesus heard the cry of Bartimaeus from the very beginning. Jesus heard Bartimaeus as soon as he opened his mouth. In fact, Jesus knew it as soon as he thought about it. Jesus heard it. Jesus heard it. And Jesus had heard the crowd telling Bartimaeus, shh, be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And yet, according to the text, Jesus did nothing. He did nothing. It was not that Jesus did not care about blind Bartimaeus. That's not it at all. Rather, it was because Jesus wanted to see, he wanted to see the sincerity of Bartimaeus. You see, you and I know the old saying, it's true, right? Talk is, what is it? Yeah, we all know that saying. Talk is cheap. Hey, listen, if we know that's true, don't you think God knows it? If we know that's a true fact, don't you think God knows? Talk is cheap. And so there are many times when people will talk and God doesn't move right away simply because he wants to know, how sincere are you? You say you got a scripture for that, Pastor Crocker? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked. I do. Look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse number 10. Here's what it says. It says, I, the Lord, this is God talking. And he says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, what does that mean? It means I, the Lord, God said, I search the heart. What does that mean? It means I search the motives. Not only does God search the motives, He searches the reins. He wants to see what you do, which way you guide your life. He searches the motives, He searches the actions. Why? So that He can give to every man that which is right, that which is just. And that's why it's impossible, or that's why it is possible, rather. That's why it's possible for someone to pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and yet die and go to hell. Because God searches the heart. You see, just saying the words has no meaning if it doesn't come from the heart. If there hasn't been true repentance from the heart, then saying the words means nothing. God's not deceived by cheap talk. He's not deceived by cheap talk. And so therefore, Jesus was certainly listening. And I'm sure that His heart was filled with great joy when He heard blind Bartimaeus say, you know what? I'm not going to be silent. And he began to cry even louder. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to notice, because of the sincerity and because of the determination of Bartimaeus' faith, I want you to notice a couple of things very quickly. First of all, there is the stopping. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still. As he's walking down the road, Bartimaeus is saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. He's still walking. Jesus, have mercy on me. He's still walking. Shh, be quiet. Don't bother. Jesus, have mercy on me. Now he stops. He saw the sincerity of the heart. Now he stops. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still. Not only do we see the stopping, we see the commanding. And Jesus commanded, verse 49, and Jesus commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Don't you see the humor in that? I mean, these are the same guys who just a minute ago were saying, shh, be quiet, don't bother the master. Oh, he's calling you, okay, now you can come, you know. Aren't we a bunch of hypocrites? Go ahead and admit it. Say, yes, Pastor. Amen. Go ahead. Try it. You bunch of cowards. Yeah, we are, aren't we? Shh, be quiet. No, no, no. Okay, yeah, come on, come on, come on. Same crowd. Same crowd. And then we see the obeying. Letter C. Verse number 50. And he arose. Casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus got up, sitting by the roadside. First thing he did is cast away his garments. After all, he's blind. A garment could become entangled in his feet. It could cause him to trip. It could cause him to fall. It could cause him to stumble so that he would not be able to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what Bartimaeus did was he cast away anything and everything that would hinder him from reaching Jesus Christ. I read a story about a little boy who got his hand stuck in a vase. They did everything they could to get that boy's hand out of this very valuable vase. They poured water on it. It wouldn't come out. They slid butter up and down his arm. It would not slide out. It was stuck. Finally, that valuable vase had to be broken in order to get that boy's hand out of the vase. And when they broke the vase, you know what they found? They found instead of his hand being straight, it was like this. And you know what he was holding on to? He was holding on to a 10-cent piece he found in the bottom of the vase. And because he would not let go of that 10 cent, his hand was stuck. You know, the sad thing is that there's many people in the world today who are holding on to a sin that is not even as valuable as a 10 cent coin. And yet, because they are not willing to let go of their sin, whatever it might be, because they're not willing to let go of their sin, they are forfeiting the eternal salvation of their soul. What a tragedy. Bartimaeus was not like that. As soon as Jesus called, immediately he threw away anything that might hinder him, anything that might trip him up from going to Christ. He was willing to throw it all away in order that he might get to the Savior. Because Bartimaeus heard the call of Christ and because he obeyed the call of Christ, I want you to notice a third thing, the cure of Bartimaeus. The cure. Notice a couple of things here. First of all, we see his desire in verse number 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Sometimes the Lord asks questions that humanly speaking seem kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, here's a guy that's blind. What can I do for you? Actually, that's not a silly question at all. Because many times people do not even know what they need. They don't know what they need. Jesus wanted to make sure this man understood what he really needed. Jesus wanted to make sure this blind man understood that he's really blind. I mean, there were many other beggars along the highway. If you asked them, "What do you need?" "I need more money. I need a better place. I need this. I need this. I need this." "No, you're blind. What do you need?" Bartimaeus understood what he needed. He understood what he needed. Jesus said, "What is it that I should do unto you?" And I want you to notice verse 51, the blind man said unto him, Bartimaeus understood exactly what he needed. He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That's what I need. I'm blind, you know. But there's more to this answer than first meets the eye. There's more to it than first meets the eye. Remember what I showed you a minute ago? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 10. God searches the heart, right? God searches the heart. And Jesus saw something in the heart of Bartimaeus that only God could see. Jesus saw something in the heart of Bartimaeus that only God could see. And because of what Jesus saw in the heart of Bartimaeus, it led to the second thing that I want us to notice, and that's his salvation. Verse number 52, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." The word whole simply means totally, completely, in every part, restored. Right? That's what it means. In other words, it deals not just with the physical condition of the man. It also involves the spiritual condition of the man. There are many people who are physically in excellent shape today. But because of their relationship with God, or I should say they have no relationship with God, spiritually they're dead. Are they whole? No. Physically they're alive, but spiritually they're dead. They're not whole. Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee sighted." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." In other words, when Jesus spoke, immediately two things happened. First of all, blind Bartimaeus was made physically whole. His eyes were open. Now he can see. He can see. But not only was he made physically whole, he was made spiritually whole. His sins were forgiven. Amen. And he was born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And the proof of that is seen, letter C, in his change. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're here this morning and you claim that you have been born again, but there has never been a change in your life, and you're still walking in the paths of the world, you're still enamored with the things of the world, you're still holding on to the things of the world, then I want to say to you this morning, you need to check and make sure you've really been saved. Because if a man is truly in Christ, there's going to be a change. He's going to be. It doesn't say he might be a new creature. It says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's a positive thing. And that's exactly what we find in our text. Notice in verse number 52, here we see the change. We see physically, first of all, immediately he received his sight. That's the physical change. That's the physical change. But it doesn't stop there. It says that he followed Jesus in the way. There's the spiritual change. There's the spiritual change. Let me close this morning by making one final point. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. He's on the road to Jerusalem. Next week, we're actually going to begin looking at the final week of our Lord's ministry on this earth. What does that mean? It simply means Jesus is on the way. He's leaving Jericho. He's heading toward the city of Jerusalem, and he will not pass that way again. He's not going to pass that way again. In other words, if Bartimaeus had allowed this opportunity to slip by, if Bartimaeus, in his pride, had allowed the crowd to hush him or to discourage him, if Bartimaeus, in his pride, had refused to cry out even greater, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And if he had allowed that opportunity to walk by, it would have never come back. And Bartimaeus, in all probability, would have died physically blind, spiritually dead. Certainly the words of the prophet apply here, do they not? Remember what the prophet said, Isaiah 55, verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Call upon him while he is near. Today, Jesus Christ is our only hope of salvation. Today, Jesus Christ is passing by, and he's giving to us an opportunity to hear the call, and he's giving to us an opportunity to respond. Because he is the perfect gentleman, you understand, he will not force you to make a decision. He's not going to force himself upon you, but he desires nothing more than for you to simply call out to him in a heart that has sincere faith, so that he might meet your deepest need, and so that he might save your eternal soul. So the question I would close with this morning is simply this: will you, like Bartimaeus, will you call upon him while he passes by? Will you call upon him in faith, trusting him for the salvation of your soul? Would you do that this morning? Or will you foolishly just allow the opportunity to pass on by, understanding that not a one of us has any assurance that we'll ever have another opportunity to meet the Savior? May God help us to consider it, to think about it carefully. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning.